So welcome, Nazir. Thank you for being with us. About your role in the revolution and more specifically the role of artists, what do you think of the importance of these artists on Tahrir or with the group of militants people? What's the role of the art in this revolution?
I think it's very important. I mean, if we take a look at, for example, the revolution that happened in Poland with the Orange Alternative, and you see all these people in all these hats, you know, and how it was a very important way to keep the revolution to continue. It's hard to imagine what it would be like if without the Orange Alternative. Would it have died? Would it not have died? So this art movement was important. And I think the same could be said for the Egyptian revolution, in the sense that not necessarily in Tahrir, but it's like the role of art in mobilizing people and getting them excited to go to Tahrir. You know?
For example, the famous singers, or if the famous singer were making songs about the revolution, what that means to involve
right.
people?
Of course, the famous people usually don't sing about the revolution until after it succeeds. Okay. So usually the underground artists are the ones who make the music videos, make the song, put them online, people listen, and then they feel excited to go. And then after that, the artists become famous when the revolution succeeds.
I wanted to ask you something about when the revolution started, did you create and cooperate with other artists who were involved in the movement, and especially on a blueprint notes that you wrote, sort of like a to-do for a revolution person. How did that come up?
There wasn't really any collaboration with artists in anything I was involved in personally. Sometimes some actions I would do, I would announce them on the social networks, you know, on Twitter, on Facebook, on my blog, and people would who would want to come and join me, especially if it's the type of activity that would require a group effort, they would join me. But usually these people aren't really they're just volunteers, people who are excited, who want to do something to help, a creative way to help the revolution going, and they would give me a hand, you know. But I haven't really collaborated with artists on anything, I don't think, yet, I guess.
And about this role of the social networks and media networks, how important is it in your art? Can you see your street art, pure street art, disconnected from the whole Twitter and Facebook and blog dimension, or?
I mean, it can be. I mean, at the start, I wasn't really using social networks in the creation of the art, because it was art that didn't require group efforts. However, in the later stages, when I wanted to create, for example, bigger, really big murals that would be very difficult to create on your own, or mobilize more people for a certain happening that requires coordination of a group. In that case, I would announce it on the social networks, and it would be essential it would be essential kind of to mobilize people in a very short amount of time to do it. Of course, without the social networks, you could still do it by, like, whatever, if you have a phone, right, or whatever, you could contact people, friends, whatever, we need to do this, and you would do it. But it's just, like, I think the speed of things, it helps things go faster, you know.
And about your street art specifically, what's inspiring you? Are you always drawing things, or sometimes writing sentences, or is that the image in the media inspire you to create new things? Or?
Sometimes it's text based, sometimes it's image based. In some cases, it's not really on a wall. It could be I don't know. Sculpture made out of plastic bags or something, or it could be anything, you know. It depends. Really, what dictates how the form of the art is dictated by kind of like the reason behind it, and what's the best way to do it, and what's the best way to express it.
And did you have a problem with the authorities by painting in the streets or making street art?
Only once.
And just regarding the conference we just had with Mr. Fidiskant, he did a lot of happenings with the Orange Revolution. Would you do you see something happenings possible in Egypt right now with the situation? Have you tried to do happenings or?
Not necessarily of the same quality as Fidrik's, but. Happenings, and I guess if you could call them even like street interventions or street performances or something, are a big part of kind of getting people to plant a seed in people's heads in an interesting, creative way.
And considering the fact that your generally your art has a strong political or social message, are there differences to the people's reaction to your art depending on the kind of images it is or what it denounces?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the first reaction by most people is they don't like it if it's very critical, because they can't handle it, you know, yet. And this is why I was saying, you know, I think this, more than it being really a political revolution, it's really a cultural and social revolution.
And about the conference we just made about the meaning of art in for example, demonstration or revolution, do you consider yourself at the an artistic activist, or do you consider that your art is used to be an activist in this revolution?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I've always felt that it was important to do a type of art that is touches upon societal aspects. You know, so in that sense, you could say it's always been on a sort of activist level. So even after the revolution, hopefully, I mean, activism never ends, you know, there's always things to talk about.
And lastly, regarding something that Mr. Benassour said during the conference, he said that people who did the revolution weren't the people who vote. Tomorrow, if, let's say, what is your perspective and opinion about how votings and what results will be, and what would be your reaction if, let's say, Islamist parties had a majority or were?
People will revolt. This is something I'm sure of, because they are revolting now before the elections, because they know the elections are a sham. You know, they know the elections are a sham because so many of older G members who were part of the old political system are running, a big number of them. Definitely more people from that old system. Even the Islamists were a party in the old system, and they were part of politics, you know. So the new people on the scene are very few in comparison. So everybody knows that these elections are a sham, and you're only kind of forced to choose the best of two evils, which is not what the Egyptian people want. You know, this is not what they revolted for. It's not what they died for. They didn't die for this. You know, and they are still on the street, and they are still dying because they don't want it. And if tomorrow happens, the elections happen, I don't think the results will be credible at all. And definitely, I mean, there is a big distinction between those who do politics and those who die on the street, those who are passionate enough to go on the street and die for a cause. politics are dirty. You know, politicians are dirty. You know, they.
Yeah, but don't you think that the people in Tahrir and the activists are just a small percent of Egyptian people, and that if in what you say, like the activists in Tahrir now are not gonna vote tomorrow for this election, is what you say? Like if they don't vote, the majority of Egyptians maybe will vote, and the opinions of these activists in Tahrir will not be represented. This what you said?
Well, this is one of the dilemmas of this so-called form of democracy, because I think those who are willing to vote are probably they because they don't see the whole picture and they just want a secure situation. Yes. And I don't recall in like my research reading about any revolution that happened by 90% of the population. It's always like a very small percent that has the guts to go ahead and put their lives in danger, whereas the majority of the population like to stay at home and watch it on television, you know. So I mean, I don't think that case will change necessarily, but I do know that if the elections do happen and a process some months pass, the same way some months passed after the military council took control, yes, eventually people revolt, went to the streets again and revolted against the military council, the same way they revolted against Mubarak. So they gave the military council a chance. So I think what we might see if the elections do take place is people giving the elections a chance to see what decisions they will make. And if they start to notice decisions that are being made that are not for the benefit of the people will revolt, because they will not let those who die for no reason. They can't, you know.
Thank you.